Hi guys, Ron Hernandez on the committee, membership committee co-chair.
Zachary.
Zachary Davenport, council co-chair.
Chuck.
Chuck Adams, council affairs co-chair.
Bill.
Bill Bloom, HIV health services.
Kira.
Kara, council staff.
Kat.
Kat, council staff.
And Mark, council staff. All right. Let's throw up the agenda, please. So we'll see here. Even if we don't do vials and PMP, we have our regular updates, our meeting evaluation, our full council agenda. We don't have quorum, so we can't approve this agenda, but does anyone have any suggestions for any shifts on this agenda? All right, let's pull up some minutes. Any luck with Richard, Kat?
He will not be attending. I can tell you and Kira more after the meeting.
Okay, well, all right. Well, 2 months in a row, but we have more people here. We don't need to end suddenly. Okay, so some of our minutes on ahead. We did carry forward allocation. Seems like the major event. Although it doesn't look like there was, oh, you know, we didn't have quorum. So of course we couldn't vote on it. Okay, that's why there's no vote there. I answered my own question before I even phrased the question. All right, thanks. And so next month, I really hope we have quorum. We'll have a whole mega approval of the 3 months worth of draft agendas and minutes. Any announcements? All right, moving forward. No public, so no public comment. Let's go to our committee check-ins. Kira, why don't you start us off with a check-in on community engagement since we don't have Richard
here.
Sure.
So we did our normal stuff of approving both the agenda and the minutes. We did receive an HCAP report from Stephen. And so he did circle back on a couple of cases that we had been hearing from, which was nice. We also discussed Needs Assessment and COLA. So we updated the committee on Needs Assessment progress. And then we also discussed a new COLA target or focus group. So we will be voting on that one in the next meeting. But it sounds like everyone is leaning towards one target population, which is really exciting. And that kind of took us to the end of the meeting.
All right. Any questions for Kira about community engagement? All right, let's go to you, Chuck, for Council Affairs. Oh, you're muted. Still muted.
There we go. How about that? No, I was up in Canada, so I wasn't there.
Oh,
so,
that's right. Hey, Kara, I'm going to lean on you again. Can you?
Council Affairs.
You are MVP.
I wanted to come on the forum.
We appreciate that. Didn't quite work out, but we appreciate the effort. Absolutely.
All right. Let me pull up that agenda really quick. There we go. All right. So for Council Affairs, it was a pretty short meeting. We just did our normal review again of agenda and minutes, and then we went on to review. Thomas joined us actually from their vacation. Kind of give us an overview of the prevention megatrends presentations we will be receiving at full council. And so we really, it was more of a discussion. So it was, we talked about what kind of the group wanted to see, what were some good points to bring up. So that was very good to hear. And that kind of took us to the end of the meeting.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Kira. Ron, can you give us a membership update?
Yes. Hi, guys. Yeah, it was pretty short last week. We had no applications to review, and we didn't have anyone to interview. We did send out a couple notices of attendance, and we should be expecting Gwen Smith and Raina Hernandez coming back from their LOA. And unfortunately, we did have one resignation. That was Juba Kalamka. For reasons I forgot, Mark, if I don't know if you need to discuss that.
I don't think we need to discuss reasons, but they're always welcome to reapply.
But the consequence of that is that we are now below the representation for African American Black population. And so I don't know. I think that was the first time in a long time that we've had difficulty maintaining that.
Oh, we actually have had difficulty for the past maybe year, maybe a little bit less than a year, because it was a finding, or at least a recommendation, from our site visit from the monitors. So it's been a little bit, and unfortunately, our numbers are looking even less strong with Juba gone. Thank you, Ron.
All to report. Thank you.
All right. So let's next go to meeting evaluation with Kira.
Of course. And let me bring that up really quickly. All right.
Does Irma's presence change quorum?
No, unfortunately, steering quorum is different than other committees. It's established by representation from each of the committees and at least one co-chair. So, yeah.
Thanks,
Irma. All right, so we had 15 council members present at June's meeting, and we did receive 11 surveys back. So I'm going to go over that. The information received prior to the meeting adequately prepared me for the meeting, and everyone agreed. The meeting was run efficiently by Richard Sullivan. Everyone agreed, and there were four comments there. All right, great job as always. Thank you, Richard. Great job, Richard, and well done, Richard. Unfortunately, Richard isn't here to hear that. The agenda was well planned, and everyone agreed there, no comments. The housing update, which was our only presentation, for last month's meeting by Manuel Vasquez, was informative and relevant to the HCPC. And there were eight comments there. Great job. Good amount of information in presentation. Very informative. Thank you for your hard work. Great job, Manuel. Great job. Very grateful for the updates and info. Thank you, Manuel. Nicely planned with lots of info, handouts to use, contact people, assessments. So helpful.
Can you pass that feedback on to Manuel?
Yes. My needs as a council member are being met during this time. Everyone agreed and no comments there. As for what worked well and what could have been improved, we had Richard is that rare blend of charm, wit, intelligence, leadership, and rugged good looks.
I'm glad that Richard is filling out these evaluations.
I was like, I wonder who could have written that.
He did it. He did it. We know.
It really is quite a model for a future survey.
No suggestions for future presentation or training topics. And this received an overall 9.7 score.
Great. Thank you, Kira. Does anyone have any questions or comments about what they just saw regarding evaluation results?
I can pass on that comment to Richard if anyone
Absolutely. Is there. All right, I'm going to share screen now for our next agenda item, which is reviewing the coming agenda for our full council meeting. It's not this Monday, it's the Monday after next on the 28th. So just keep in mind that. Please don't show up on Monday. Let me pull that up. Let's see, where is it? There it is. Okay. Hey, do people see that?
Yes.
So unlike last month, we have a packed agenda. I don't think it's too packed. Wow. We see our regular pro forma. I usually give 25 minutes for this, but I gave it just an extra 5 minutes because we have an update from getting to zero. We don't usually have that. during the general updates, but we have kind of a mid-year update, and then we'll have a longer presentation at the near the end of the year. And then I have my annual HRSA mandate, which will be boring old news to our ongoing council members, but hopefully exciting for our many new council members. I also am responding to a recommendation that we do like a knowledge quiz. At first I was resistant until I realized, well, I'm not the one being quizzed. I'm the one who would be quizzing. So it suddenly became a great fun idea for me. And so we'll be doing that. There will also be a prize for the highest point earner on this exciting quiz. Then we'll have a break with some delicious food from La Mediterranee, I think. And then we have two presentations, CQI Quality Assurance from John Ainsley and Prevention Megatrends from Thomas Noble. And that will wrap up our robust meeting full of agenda items. Any questions?
Mark, one question is John presenting on his floor?
John is. John okay. did the presentation review himself, not this month, but last month. And then we decided to bump it a month so that we can have a full hour or so for Manuel's update. And John was fine with that being moved up a month, unless that's changed, of course. He was also planning on adding in a little bit around what the new... our new adherence to the state FPL is 600%. So yeah, that's John. And so Floor is already on deck for next month's presentation on Aries data.
Okay, I think she was thinking that was this month. I will follow up with you later.
Oh, I'd be surprised. Yeah, she and I were in communication last month about the date. Huh.
Okay, I'll just double check. You could be right.
Yeah, I think so. Any other questions or concerns or edits to this agenda? No? All right. Well, I'm going to stop share. And before we go on, I want to just double check. I have a whole email. I mean, this might be my error. I could have gotten the months wrong. It wouldn't be the first time I've made a blunder. Let's see. Let me look for Floor here. Nope. The last communication I got was actually from Floor that said August 25th works for our team.
Okay.
So hopefully that's
I'll check back with her.
Easily resolved. Yeah, she sent me that the date would work mid-May.
Okay. Yeah, she was had some concerns because her voice has gone out. So I think she may be thinking of this month, but I'll check with her.
We'll keep okay, it. Yeah,
I will let you know if there's an extra month than what she might have. Okay.
All right. So even though we don't have quorum, since Irma joined us, I do feel like we have enough people to review some policies. Are people good with that, even though we don't have quorum? Yeah. Okay. I know that was an enthusiastic. Let's do it, which I'm going to take. So the first one that we should review is actually one that we've already done, but Bill had a great suggestion for our meeting attendance policy. Open that up a little bit, which was to add some verbiage. Oh, let me get some background. So the membership committee does try its best to stay in alignment with our policies. You know, we receive, they receive from council support our policy, our automatic processes that are happening with any council member who's out of compliance. But the membership committee also tries to meet council members where they're at. And so sometimes that means they hold off on sending, say, a particular notice, especially if there's an understanding that that council member is going through a hard time in their life health-wise. So Bill suggested, you know, that we, since this does happen from time to time, that there actually be a sentence added that shows that membership may choose, I don't know how I'd actually put it, may choose some level of flexibility when it comes to our automatic processes. So let me find a good place and then let's try to wordsmith how we'd put that in there. It makes a lot of sense to me because it's what has been done. Okay, so here, yeah, there's the minimum attendance, letter of warning, probation part two, taken off of probation, assumption of resignation, a council member will be automatically dismissed. Excuse. So I think between 7 and 8, so we'd add a new 8, I think. The membership committee may address, I mean, tell me I'm going to try to just throw something up and you all tell me like if it should be totally changed or if you have suggestions that are better than what I throw up. May choose to address individual council members. Individual council members' challenges with attendance on a case-by-case basis. I don't know if that really lands where we want to be, but that's sort of my first thought. Any suggestions to improve that sentence or to make it more exact about the flexibility that membership has had sometimes, in particular around big life issues. So may choose to address and change and adjust policy. How about that? Address and potentially adjust policy regarding individual council members' challenges with attendance on a case-by-case basis. Okay, how do folks feel about that?
Accommodate rather than adjust.
Oh, because it has to accommodate policy.
Accommodate. Or reasonably accommodate or reasonably something like that.
I do like that phrase, reasonable accommodation. They choose to provide reasonable accommodation to council members on a case like, yeah, okay. They choose to.
Mark, the only challenge with that particular term is that it is like a term, a kind of a legal term, and it's a process, at least for these commissions, people are supposed to apply for.
And it does actually, it's usually for temporary or ongoing disability as well.
Yeah, I think it's the right idea, but maybe you want to choose a slightly different wording so it doesn't sound like.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we're back to my... Does that make sense, Irma, about why actually you might want to avoid that? Yeah, although I was excited about it. But it does make sense. I mean, those policies are usually created to help people who are having challenges around mobility, vision, hearing, et cetera, childcare even. So now we're back to the membership committee may choose to address and potentially adjust policy regarding individual council members' challenges based on policy based on regarding. How does that sound? In particular, you run as one of the chieftains of membership. How does that sound to you?
Yeah, it sounds fine to me.
All right. Then.
You know, Mark, I hate to be a word stickler. I'm just concerned you if there were ever a day where folks are super big splashers that don't settle down and continue to kind of get people riled up, that people are going to say there's a favoritism here. So a couple of things. One is, you know, if some people get yes and then some people get told no, people could take it personally. So it's not necessarily adjust this policy. Maybe it's make an exception to this policy.
Okay.
Because otherwise you could say you're going to judge the whole policy. You know, you're going to change the policy, but you're going to make an exception to this policy.
Okay. And potentially.
Make an exception.
Make exception.
to this policy.
Policies. Where am I spelling there? C.
You were sort of C there. And maybe you just want to make it specific to one policy, this policy.
Thank you.
Is it exemptions or exceptions?
Exceptions is what Bill suggested.
I think they both work. I would say exemption. An exemption sounds kind of it's more permanent because you might make an exception and then it doesn't work and you might decide 5 minutes, 5 months later that you have
that's
to
true.
Visit it.
Yeah, exemption does sound more formal. Okay, so back to you, Ron. How does this sound?
Sounds good.
All right. Before we move on, anyone else have any thoughts or concerns about this update to this policy? Oops. No? Okay, I'm going to stop share and move on to another one. Let me save that.
I'm sorry, Mark. What about the other points that were before that?
This, so it follows all of these. So the assumption is the entire policy. So this is the meeting attendance policy.
Well, I just by looking at the first item on that, could we just go back to the screen you were at?
Yeah, sure.
I just have a question. So the first item, the minimal attendance required is 4 meetings?
Yes, in a 3 consecutive month period.
Okay, I don't know my math. So yeah, as far as I was concerned, it's just 3 meetings a month, but then you have excuse meetings that you're looking at. Okay.
Okay. Right.
In 3 consecutive months. Okay.
So we shall move on to our next item, which is, it's a long one, orientation. Here to hear a lot for me. Well, it's only 2 pages, not that long. Orientation and training for council members is provided by council staff with the support. Let me make this a bit bigger. Is that a good size? Is provided by council staff with the support of council members and SFDPH. They will occur at least once per year and on an as-needed basis. The primary objective of orientation and training is to afford council members the opportunity to understand the history, structure, function, and roles of the San Francisco EMA HCPC. The orientation and training session will include review and discussion of the following: Ryan White legislation, overview and reauthorization update. The HH, oh, that's old language. It should never actually have been HHSPC, which is should be HRSA, right? Federal mandate. We have our usual suspects. Service category prioritization, resource allocation, needs assessment, grantee assessment, continuing quality assurance, comprehensive planning, coordination with other HIV services, development and implement standards of care, develop and implement council policies and procedures. These are all taken directly from the federal mandate. So, of course, there should be no change there unless the feds change it. CDC guidance, a letter of concurrence and behavioral risk population and drivers. Again, like the difference, obviously, in how funding and allocation decisions are made over in SHEP. History of council and community planning process in San Francisco. The San Francisco model of care dash continuum prevention, care, and treatment. Mission statement and council values. Definition of terms. Legal basics of the SFEMA HCPC. State and local ordinances, specifically Sunshine Ordinance and the Brown Act. Severe need definition and eligibility criteria. The grantee, budget spreadsheets and fiscal years. Ryan White Part A service categories. Summary of priority setting and resource allocation process, which includes the steps leading to annual summit, government and provider presentations, and the community needs assessment. Just kind of get to needs assessment and COLAs, an overview and example. The council, including its committees and work groups, the decision-making process, as well as the advisory capacity for general funds. Roles and responsibilities of new council members and support opportunities, including website, council policy and procedure manual, mentoring, council support staff, roles of attendance and selecting a home committee, finally a deeper dive into some policies and procedures, and a few words on the HIV Consumer Advocacy Project. So this is what we orient people on, and we do this whenever there's a new council member. All right, any thoughts on this, or is this good as is? Hearing no thoughts, we're going to say it's good as
is. I have a couple thoughts.
Okay, let me pull back up.
Do you want to do some presentation on the role of the grantee as well as the planning council, or the grantees in this case?
The grantee is included here.
Oh, did I miss it? Okay, great. You might want to make that plural because now it's prevention as well. It's a merge council.
Yes, thank you.
And is there somewhere here? I'm sorry, it's been a really long day, so I'm not at my most focused. Is there a section here on the concurrence letter of concurrence?
Yep, right there.
Excellent. Okay.
Anything else? I'm only seeing some of you, so please just speak up if you have anything else. All right, let me stop sharing.
You know, Mark, I think the behavioral risk populations and drivers, you might want to check in with Thomas. I don't think that's really kind of a focus of what they do anymore. Maybe double check that.
Oh, is that no longer the how they actually?
I haven't really heard them talk about it in years. That's why I'm saying check.
Let me double check with Thomas.
Ask him. It may still well be the case. It feels to me like they've shifted in terms of what they want, what they have to report out.
Okay, I'm going to add that in right now before we go on to the next one. Orientation. I'll just highlight behavioral risk populations and drivers and ask Thomas about that. Great. Thank you, Bill.
Sure.
All right. Next one is... mentoring program, rarely used, but we should still have one. All right, it's a short one. Mentoring program. In an effort to facilitate inclusion, community building, and organizational understanding, new planning council members to the San Francisco HIV Community Planning Council will continue their orientation process through mentoring and coaching. The membership committee offers this program to new members by planning council members who can provide the required knowledge, skills, and abilities, and who have served the council for at least 1 year. The membership committee will review and approve mentor and mentees to ensure success. Mentor roles do the following. They offer guidance and expertise to coach and develop new planning council members in the different facets of their role on the planning council as outlined within the council member job description. They will offer general support to new planning council members. This will be on an as-needed basis and may be defined by mentor-mentee in terms of what should be covered. Can offer supportive guidance on the importance of cultural humility and equity, including council practices that support full participation and inclusion, such as the rules of respectful engagement, the conflict resolution policy, etc. Meet regularly to discuss and review council operations, documents, and processes. So this is our mentoring program policy. Any changes or additions to what I just read?
Looked good to me.
All right, not hearing any. I'll stop share. We're just whizzing along. Close that out. Oh, Kira, I guess per usual, or maybe it's not usual, hopefully it is, I'll send these to you to upload into our share drive. I won't send the orientation one until I hear back from Thomas. So, okay. Only three more left for today. Another shorty. Expense reimbursement. Reimbursements can be made available to non-aligned consumers of services. These reimbursements may potentially be used for expense reimbursements or wages lost as a result of attending council meetings. Requests for reimbursement may be submitted to council support and should include receipts for expenses whenever possible. Expenses should not be reported as taxable income by council members.
So, Mark, I think I'm going to be a bearer of bad news. I think the PCN 1602 says this is not doable. So maybe put that on hold till I can review. Would you be so kind as to send that to me, and then that will be my cue to check and rented against that thing. So what is reimbursable is potentially childcare,
Yes. Okay.
transportation, but I don't think wages lost is, and meals if it happens during mealtime.
Okay, I will send this to you and you
Okay.
let me know.
Will do.
Easier, I mean, obviously, quite easy to remove a policy in its entirety. Okay. Let's away. All right, two more to go. There are two good ones, conflict resolution and corrective action. Conflict resolution, it is a multi-step process between council members. Let's see how long this is. Oh, not that long. Step one, both parties meet to informally resolve contact. Con, not contact, conflict, which could be a source of. If a resolution does not occur, then the parties will move on to step two, which is mediation. A mediator may be one person selected by both parties or a panel of three, with each party choosing a mediator and those two mediators choosing a third. That's clever. The decision by the mediators will be the conclusion of the conflict resolution process at the council level. It goes beyond that, step three. If the conflict between the parties escalates and or persists and leads to disruptive behavior in the course of council activities, then the corrective action plan policy will apply. Disruptive behavior includes anything that violates the council's core values as defined in the council members' rights and responsibilities. I really remember John Andrews, rest in peace, working on this one. He did so much with the original policies. I don't know if any of you truly recall working with John, but what a lovely human being he was. If conflict occurs between council members and council staff, the parties involved may choose one or both of the following. If both parties agree, the conflict resolution policy as stated above may be used. Two, either party may bring a complaint to the contractor for the administrative support contract via that contractor's internal grievance policy. At any time, a council member may choose to address any conflicts, issues, or problems through any other formal or informal channels that are available to the public. All right, that makes sense. If there's an issue with staff, there's multiple ways to go about dealing with that issue. All right, any changes or adjustments or thoughts on our conflict resolution policy?
Looks good.
All right, here you
Mark,
go.
have you kept, I don't know, I hate to smiley, I think, what's that his nickname? It looks great. I think you, does it make sense to call out here that violence or actual threats of violence will not be tolerated or maybe grounds for just that kind of scope it? So.
I mean, it does say as it says, disruptive behavior includes anything that violates the council's core values as defined in the council members' rights and
Right.
responsibilities. Do you want me to add something beyond that?
Well, I guess my question is this, do at some level, and this is really for everyone here, do we want to say, like it's kind of typical, like in clinics,
I mean, it
sometimes.
wouldn't hurt. This includes violence or threats of violence.
Yeah, I don't think you want to do that to conflict resolution. I just want to say it won't be tolerated. So I would almost scope it out. It may be grounds for removal. I would say something like that.
Okay, so
So
as a
I cannot threaten to pull Imra's hair, in for instance, right?
no,
Can't even
yeah,
threaten, otherwise it could be.
please stop doing that. Okay, so I'll make it separate from both of these things and put it like right in the middle. So violence or threats of violence will not be tolerated and are grounds for immediate removal. Pretty straightforward, and I think pretty template for most places. Okay. Any other suggestions or additions or changes? All right. Stop share again on this one. Make sure to save changes. And our last one for today is going to be corrective action. Been a while since I've read this one. Curious, quite curious. And this is a long one, it's 2 pages. Corrective action and involuntary removal. purpose. The purpose of this policy is to ensure a fair and open process when it becomes necessary to remove a voting member from the council. The council membership committee, let me make this bigger. It's pretty dense. Oops. Where did it go? There we are. Okay, the council membership committee may recommend involuntary removal of members to the planning council and the chief elected official for any of the following reasons. Is it officer or official? I guess whatever. A, change of status and or loss of affiliation, which qualified the member for appointment to the planning council. Members are responsible for informing a co-chair of the membership committee of any changes of status and or loss of affiliation that may affect his or her ability to serve as a member. Let's just put there in there for ability. Conduct or behavior in, actually, let's stop there. Anything about A, the change of status? I mean, that seems kind of harsh, but I mean, it makes sense.
Keep it.
Yeah. Okay.
B. But I thought we are allowing, I mean, members to stay even if they're not affiliated with.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. A change of status and or loss of which qualified, we switched that over as well. So for example, for you, we switched your status from a service provider to a community leader. And there is an actual chair for that. So you are actually in the community, a non-elected community leader. So, yeah. But I think if someone loses status and doesn't fit anything, like, so we have another member.
I who, see.
Who worked for an agency and then left that agency, but they still qualified under another one, which was, I think it was prevention, a user of prevention services. So as long as there's a seat, I think this is more around like, okay, you're no longer doing anything with this and you're insisting on staying on.
Got it.
Mark, maybe adding loss of affiliation to a federally mandated seat or something to make it clear that it's, you know, not because someone left the agency, it's easy to go to Y. I think you're specifically talking about, like, let's say, you know.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Okay. And Mark, I have kind of a nitpicky question, but only because it's kind of thorny and I don't want to leave the membership committee hanging out there if we ever would have to do this. Hopefully you never will. Who are they recommending it to?
If you're speaking now, I don't hear you.
Oh, can you hear me now, Mark?
I can hear you. So you mentioned.
Oh, I'm just saying, this is a thorny situation, which I hope will never happen. But if it does.
Yeah.
Who does the membership committee recommend to? Who are they recommending about? Is it to the planning council support? Is it to the steering? Is it to the whole planning council? What will be the process for that?
It says right above there.
About move out members.
So right above A, it says the council membership committee may recommend involuntary removal of members to the planning council and the chief elected official.
So then, so that would play out that the membership kind of makes a motion and then they bring that motion to the floor.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
That's what I'm asking. Is that what membership wants to do, or you all want to do?
I guess so. It doesn't sound like there's any other suggestions otherwise.
Can I ask, so the chief elected official, is that the mayor?
Or yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then we shall keep it as is as far as that first sentence goes, with the addition from Bill about federally mandated seat. And hopefully people don't get too nervous about that. There are so many federal mandated seats, and like literally every year when I am putting forward the document that they send to us to pick people's seats, people fit in multiple seats, honestly. It's usually not an issue. All right. Conduct or behavior in office that has a negative impact on the integrity of the community's confidence in the council, including, but not limited to, conflict of interest violations, malfeasance, making repeated unsubstantiated allegations under this section, unwelcome behavior or language that has the effect of offending, intimidating, or demeaning a person on the basis of their sexual orientation, marital status, pregnancy, sexuality, gender identity, race, disability, age, or political or religious beliefs. Repeated engagement in disruptive behavior or personal attacks, as defined by the rules of respectful engagement with council members, support staff, HIV health services, office staff, or invited presenters, or other conduct that violates the bylaws or established policies and procedures adopted by the planning council. So this is obviously quite an all-inclusive policy. Really did attempt to name everything that could possibly be considered a negative impact on the integrity of the community's confidence in the council. So it's, I think that's why it's quite extensive. Also, this was written shortly after, I'd say, a couple issues. Any thoughts on this? Any changes or updates or concerns?
We might want to add in front of sexual orientation perceived, that would align with kind of the bias trainings that DPH does, because it someone could assume something and be discriminatory and actually the person not be that.
Makes perfect sense to me. Although, do we need to have perceived sexual orientation and sexuality? Are these different things? I don't think so.
That seems redundant.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, then we shall move on. The perceived.
The only thing that reads a little quirky is pregnancy on their perceived pregnancy. So,
oh, it's perceived sexual orientation.
No. It's all that on their sexual orientation, on their marital status, or on their pregnancy.
Oh, I was reading that as their perceived sexual orientation.
No. You're right about that. But just pregnancy in relationship to all those other things, it just person isn't their pregnancy status. I don't know. Pregnancy.
Well, unwelcome behavior or language.
Sorry, I think people understand. It's just quite rewrite. Okay.
All right. Anything else on this section? It's quite rich in verbiage. Then we shall move on to the actual procedure. Quite a bit. Okay. Let's just do a space there. Removal by the first part of the procedure is removal by the chief, by the CEO. At any time, the CEO may terminate membership of a planning council member without the recommendation or approval of the planning council. Did you all know that? That is the case. That's only happened, as far as I know, in my involvement with the council once. Although when it happened to two people at the same time. That was a long time ago under Mayor Willie Brown. All right. Removal for cause process. Once an allegation has been made by a member of the council or by a member of the community, it shall be the responsibility of the person receiving the information to request that the complaint be put in writing and immediately notify one or both of the membership co-chairs in writing without discussing the matter further with other council members. B. It will be the responsibility of the membership co-chairs to notify in writing the council member against whom the allegation has been made. This notice shall be copied to the mayor's representative and to city legal counsel. C. It will be the responsibility of the membership co-chairs to forward the written allegation to the three, you can take out three, to the council co-chairs within 7 days of receipt. The membership co-chairs will initiate the investigation within 30 days upon receipt of the written allegation and will manage the process. If the person making the allegation and or the person against whom the allegation has been made are members of the membership committee, they shall not participate in discussions of the allegation. This investigation may be limited to the membership co-chairs in a case where the allegations are of such a nature that the person may be damaged by wider discussion. The individual against whom the complaint is made has discretion to request that all meetings regarding the allegation be open and public. Moving along.
Wait, Mark, so a couple of things there. So okay. If they make that request, does it have to be honored? In which case, we should clarify that.
How would you suggest that we
Well, first, I want
clarify
to
that?
understand it. Are we saying that I could ask that everything be public and therefore it is? So I can request it, or I can state I want it and then it is.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense because certainly without that clarification, it does seem to go against
Well, they have the discretion to the discretion to request, right?
the prior
Yeah,
sentence. Yeah.
yeah.
So how would you update that sentence?
I guess it depends what the group wants. I think it's more important that the process is clear. Are we saying that if I say, hey, I want this all in the light of day on it, then if I want that on the person who threw in the upon whom the allegations have been made, do I hold that right to make sure it's all done in public? Or can I request it and then the co-chairs decide?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so then if folks think that is a good thing to add, it makes sense to me. I mean, a request can be made, but it doesn't need to have to be honored. Like perhaps the person who is making the complaint feels like, well, actually, I don't want it to be pu open to public because it has to do with, say, sexual harassment or something
Right.
else, you know? And so I maybe add in a semicolon, the membership co-chairs may choose to honor or not to honor this request. Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you, Bill.
Sure. And in A, you might want to change the biblical shall to a will. So to a second sentence, just to align it with all the other tenses.
Don't like shall, huh?
Well, no, just as you do will everywhere else. We do will everywhere else, so we should make it the same. Here we can put shalls all over.
Oh no, you will. Okay.
Sounds a little biblical, so I like it will.
That's why I like shall.
Very good.
Old Testament style. Okay. All right. I don't mean to trigger anyone. What happened here? Looks like, let me just fix this for a second. So back up to E. And now that happened. Boy, I mean, I can fix this later, I suppose, but what the hey? Okay, there we go.
Okay.
Investigation may include, but is not limited to, interviewing the complainant, the accused, and any involved parties, and gathering any relevant information that may substantiate the allegation. The investigation, upon request of the accused, may include a public hearing and opportunity to confront and present other involved parties relevant to the complaint. Any thoughts on that one?
So again, the same thing. Do we have to honor is the request? Is it a request,
Yeah.
and then the discretion of whom?
I was thinking the same thing.
And do you want to put the word confront there, or do we want to put the word confront there? Maybe it's better address.
Yeah. I like address better than confront, although
Yeah.
confront sounds more exciting, like Real Housewives of the Planning Council. Two, may use the opportunity to flip tables. All right, moving on. F. I'm sorry, anything else for E?
No.
Okay. F. Upon completion of the investigation, the membership committee may, by majority vote, find the allegation is unsubstantiated and recommend no further action. Find that the allegation is substantiated and recommend corrective action less severe than removal from the council, which may include a letter of corrective action documenting the infraction, public or private censure, or removal from committee assignments. Or find that the allegation is substantiated and recommend removal of the member to the steering committee and council. Or ask the member to resign from the HCPC or working group, dismiss the member from the HCPC or working group, or some other appropriate option. Any thoughts on F? All right. Well, then moving on, G. Recommendations for removal will be made to the steering committee for review and final approval and inclusion for a vote on the council agenda. Recommendations for removal will include specific findings of fact supported by substantial evidence that justifies the recommended action. We can do a package deal. If the matter is taken to the council, all information gathered, including statements from the complainant and the accused and involved parties, will be presented by the membership co-chairs. And finally, all persons having knowledge of the allegation in the investigative process must maintain strict confidentiality outside of the council. Which is odd since the council meetings are all public meetings. But G, H, and I, thoughts? I mean, I would actually say membership committee rather than the council, because the council is, these are public meetings. Right. Okay.
Well, Mark, I think
it's weird that it's
kind of this just like you don't go gossiping about, oh my God, the people aren't part of the planning council, right? Like,
that's true.
Public enough. So maybe it's slightly different wording, like planning council members should respect the privacy of all members outside of planning council business or something like that. So it's getting at the fact, you know, that it's really not your, it's not ethical to go complaining about someone or trashing them publicly outside the planning council.
Yeah, I mean, that might just be a change from must to should. Zachary, you had a thought on this?
Oh, I just think it's interesting, yeah, that it says if the matter's taken to the council, that all information gathered, including statement. It just seems, yeah, I don't know. Is it necessary? I guess maybe it would be in some situations, but it also seems a little, I don't know, extreme.
Yeah, it sure does. And I'm not sure that's what happened the last time this happened. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like when this did happen, certainly there were, I mean, they made statements, I guess. And the membership co-chairs, if I recall correctly, did actually present the basic information to the council.
It actually seems to me, I mean, that, I mean, I would say the opposite, that like the limited, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure how to say it, but like only the limited appropriate information relevant or something like that. I don't know. That's just how I feel about it. To really honor the integrity of someone, even if they are being removed, but like, you know.
Yeah, I feel where you're coming from here. If the matter is taken to the council, all information gathered, including statements from the council. All pertinent
should limit sharing.
Oh yeah, we're talking about two different things here. So yours, Bill, is for I, and I think Zachary's speaking to H. So we kind of blended over.
Oh, okay.
For yours, Bill, I just changed it from must to should.
That's fine.
Yeah. And then I like it because then it's just more like we can't stop people, and these are public meetings, but they should respect the confidentiality of a pretty serious issue. And that actually connects with Zachary's thoughts on H. Like, if this is a very serious issue, do we need all information gathered actually presented to a public audience potentially? And maybe we should adjust that information. So if the matter is taken to the council.
Mark, can I ask you something?
Pertinent information gathered. I think you're going to have to leave that a little bit to the discretion. And the
yeah, let's say pertinent. So hold that thought, Irma. I don't want to forget that.
No, I had a question. Pertinent. I just had a question.
Information gathered.
Yeah, just okay. Pertinent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Irma.
So I was going to say where this matter, potential matter, will be discussed, is it open to the public? And the membership committee
Not membership
meets.
committee. They can close that if they need to. But at the full council, when the actual
Oh,
vote is taken,
that's when it's going to be
yeah,
public.
which speaks to Zachary's challenge around
Got
like
it.
everything, really. But what if there's like really personal stuff in there? Like we can bring in the conclusion of the membership committee with statements and any kind of pertinent information about what actually might have happened.
Occurred.
Let's say someone has like a history of receiving sexual harassment. Do we need to put that on there if they have put forward a complaint that they've received it yet again at the council? That seems like that could be harmful to that person, right?
I understand. Okay, thanks.
That's why I like that very simple pertinent information gather. Because a person's background in life is not necessarily pertinent to a particular issue at hand. And in fact, it can be quite salacious to include that. Okay, I think we did good work on this one. Any last thoughts before I stop share? Stopping share. Make sure to save that. Save. And we are done just a couple minutes over. My apologies. But I think we only have one or two sections left. I mean, each section has multiple policies, but we only have one or two sections left of P&P. So yay for us. All right, on that note, except for Kat and Kira, who I'd love to stay behind, I'd like to bid you all a fond farewell. Enjoy your Friday and your weekend. And
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank
later.
you.